Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church
with Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the theheirchurch.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
The book of Ephesians, chapter number, over in the New Testament over there. Amen. And we commonly mention to you in Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Therefore I say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now that's not Ephesians, that's Mark 11. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. With those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But then the word says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. Many believers need a revelation of forgiveness. A revelation of forgiveness. Forgiveness of others and forgiveness of yourself. And what occurs is, I'm going back to Ephesians. What occurs is that, you know, you can, there are things in your life, you know, everybody's failed and had problems, but you must learn to forgive yourself. Yeah. The Bible, one of the things the Bible points out in your journey with God and growing, amen, that you're guilty and you were a sinner before you got saved. And that the essence of salvation is forgiveness. And it's something you're going to practice all through your Christian life. You'll be forgiving others and forgiving yourselves. Amen. And then, as a matter of fact, I mentioned this because there was a discussion I had this week about, and this was a major issue found over in Romans, in the Gospel of Romans, where the Jews could not believe that you could just be saved by saying something. It's, oh no, not that easy. You see, salvation looks too easy, but it's not easy. It looks free, but it's not free. It costs the blood of Jesus. And here's one of the challenges that will happen to you, and the devil will reinforce it. In other words, some of the things that you may have gone through and done, you've got to develop your freeness and your love with God to know that God's not trying to get even with you, that he's forgiven you. And so, and what it comes out to be is in the doctrine of, you hear it, and you've heard it, once saved, always saved. Well, y'all mighty quiet. And you don't know. See, once saved, always saved. I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you what that's rooted in. It's like a catchphrase. If you get saved, you can't unsave yourself if you're saved. And the challenge with many people, when they look at that, you got to determine, did you get saved? We have a class called the New Birth where we examine, tell me your testimony. Let me hear how you got saved. How you received what God had wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And see, the challenge with that is in your early stage of Christianity, your flesh will still be pulling on you. And the devil says, see there, you're not even saved, look at you. So you can't measure your salvation by what you're doing in your growth. Because you're stumbling, see, that's your flesh. But being born again is spiritual. You're born again. So you believe that Jesus is God's son, he died, was buried, and raised from the dead on the third day, according to the scripture. He ever lived to make intercession. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that you asked him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. You leave that part out, you ain't saved. You've got to ask him, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen. And then oftentimes you say, well, you have to confess your sin. You don't know all your sins. When you get saved, your whole life was sin. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sin. That means we were dead. So what has happened? We need to be made alive. So when you get born again, that's the new life. You're born again. Yeah, but Pastor, go back to the once saved, always saved. See, it's the way the wording is. It makes you think, well, no, I don't know. I got to keep this thing up. I got to keep it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to keep it up. See, it's making you think, if you earned it, you got to take care of it. You got to keep it up. You didn't earn it. You can't keep it up, because when you say keep it up, that means you can't be failing. Oh, you're going to fail, but that's what 1 John 1:9 is for. Are you with me? And so you have to get this, because many people are stuck on this. The minute you fall in any kind of sin, you say, well, you know, I made a mistake. You're sinning, it won't be no mistake either. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Just because you sinned, that doesn't mean that was a mistake. It was wrong, but you did it on purpose. The word says, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So that's where your mind has to be renewed. I got to keep taking you where you used to go. Other than being born again. When you get born again, you save. Look like I might be on a save message this morning. I'm trying to go to Ephesians, Lord. But you have to clarify this with people. And what happens is, it looks too good to where God can just forgive you. He just forgive you, 1 John 1:9, and now you are all right. You see how you listen? I'm making it sound like it's too good to be true. Oh, yeah, so you just all right because you just asked God to forgive you. Uh-huh. That's actually it. I don't know. That seemed too easy. No, it's not easy. It's easy for you, but it wasn't easy to make available. It cost the blood of Jesus for that provision to be made available. It was a very high price. And now here's the heavy part to that part we say, once saved, always saved, is this what people have a challenge is, people want you to pay. They want you to pay. You don't look guilty enough. You're not sorry enough. Are you following? In other words, you gotta look like you really sorry about it and really. See, in other words, that's a private matter. It says, listen, when they look at it and say, well, you don't look guilty enough, they're asking you to pay a price for your sin that the Bible says you can't pay it. It was paid already by Jesus. You can't pay it. If I can't pay it, well, what am I going to do? You got to ask God to forgive you and receive his forgiveness. And you got to receive it by faith. This is where faith comes in. When you receive it by faith, that means I don't feel forgiven. No, you may not feel forgiven, but you got a faith forgiveness. See, you're forgiven based on the word of God. You receive forgiveness based on the word, the very thing that gave you salvation gives you forgiveness. Because salvation is forgiveness itself. And see, in other words, you can do something, and people say, well, now it's going to take you some time before you back right with God. And God not just going to forgive you in 5 days. I'm helping somebody. See, that's all built into the price. You ever bought something and say, it's built into the price? So we already put that in the price. It's built in the price. That blood of Jesus, salvation from death to life, is paid for. Forgiveness when you sin is paid for. It's inside us to say forgiveness is there. 1 John 1:9 is written to save people. It's not written to sinners. And so if one thing the devil would do, he want to confuse you in the early stages before you have the word. Because see, it'll cause you to not be moving toward God at a pace you should be moving because you feel unforgiven. You waiting to feel like you earned it. We couldn't earn salvation and you can't earn forgiveness after you saved and sinned. After I'm saved and I'm sinned, God said he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's written to save people. Whether they did it by mistake or on purpose, whatever the reason, God's ready to forgive you. And so you can't earn that forgiveness. It cannot be earned. You have to ask for it, believe it, and receive it. This is where your walk of faith comes in. You have to receive it and know God has forgiven you. Because the devil said, now come on. You know God not going to forgive you. This is the fifth time you've done the same thing. Five times in a row. You think God going to forgive you? Yes, he is. According to his word, he's going to do it. So I'm going to get on off of that. So, but that's where that comes from, where he said, well, once saved, always saved. That means God has not made a provision to keep you. You can't keep yourself. If you had to keep you, you'd be kicked out. Y'all give a better amen on kicked out. If you, since you've been saved, if you had to keep yourself, you've been put out. And Jehovah's Witness will put you out. Well, they have a provision in their doctrine where they will put you out. I know what I'm saying. Kicked out the kingdom. How many of y'all remember that song? Like, for I know I got a seat in the kingdom. They'll take your seat. Yes, you give me that seat back. You ain't in no more. Like this some kind of big club. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this is how, in your growth and your going with God, you say, God, forgive me, thank you, and keep moving. You have to keep moving. You have to develop this. One of the things, a sports example, Jones, and Brother Brown, one of the things you learn in I say, this football season coming in, is when you get knocked down, you need to get up quick. We'd be in the film room, and they looking at the film and see somebody knock you down or you get blocked. And they'll watch to see how long it take you to get up. They got the film. Who is this? What number 75? Are you going to get up today? Anytime. And they'll hold the camera on there. I started to get out on the ground to show you how people, you know, well, I missed it. So let me just stay down here and wallow around till the play over. Then I get back up for the next play. No, it's not over. Get up quick so you gotta learn to recover. It's actually a technique in the body of Christ. I just use the word recover. Some of you gotta recover quick. On this team, you gotta recover quick. I'm already telling you, you're gonna miss it sometime. See, God already knows. The Bible tells you this. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. That's written to save people too. That means get up. Get your forgiveness and get up. Don't get in pride. Well, I never thought I would miss. I know God already told you you would. He told you you would. Because we have to grow in the things of God. So, but when you don't need no approval, you don't need nobody to sign off or write and sign nothing. You do it based on the word of God. God forgive me. Amen. God forgive you. According to 1 John 1 and 9. That's when you come into church. Some of you left here good last week and come back full of sin. It's people living in sin go to church every week. And they're going through things. They're trying to work their way through it. And they, you know, well, you know, I'm just giving it my best. No, you got to give it the word of God. Some things you can find yourself in, y'all don't even have to say amen. It'll take you a minute to get out. Because your flesh got you in. And it don't want to let you out. Because what you got in, it tastes good, looked good, felt good. It appealed to your five senses. Which will dominate your life until you break the hold of those five senses in that area. You can't get back. The devil gonna offer you something you like. Come on, somebody. He ain't trying to give you no castor oil. The devil ain't giving you no castor oil. He giving watermelon. It's cold and it's sweet. Come on, somebody. Isn't it good to be honest? You have to do this to know that you depended upon Jesus. Otherwise, you get to judging other people. You'll be judging folk because you've gotten so good. Not realize you still dependent upon God every day. God, I thank you for keeping me. Ooh, Jesus, how many of you thank God for keeping you? Oh, he's keeping you. He got you and keep you. He told you, he said, I'll keep you. And you'll stay tuned in. And then if he don't keep you, you get away. He said, I'll welcome you back. Because see, what God has in mind is bigger than the sin the devil trying to tie you up in. Amen. I don't do a lot of specific sin messages, although I can. Amen. I got one coming going to help perverted people. What? What kind of people? Perversion. I'm going to show you what the devil does. How the devil does it. Amen. You heard the sin called lust of the flesh? That's all flesh. That's all flesh. God said, if man don't have parameters, he will go after anything. It's built. See, you have to know how you made, how man is made, and then he fell in sin. Come on, somebody. I won't even start down that road. It might be X-rated. I don't know. I'm like, woo, Jesus. You have to know, but God tell us who we are. And when man fell, Lord have mercy. You talking about, well, you know, I don't think, you know, man and women, I don't know. You don't understand where that come from, do you? People can't get help. You have to give them the root of it. Let me tell you where that come from. Let me tell you the thoughts that came in your mind that told you as a woman you want a woman. I'm going to tell you where the thoughts came from. That way you'll know what to do with them. But if you don't deal with them, they will grow. And your body, it's going to go with whatever you go with because it knows no limits. Woo, Jesus. We'll show you. You get to know it. That's why God had put the law in. He said, oh, my God, look what they're doing. He had to put the law in for us. Say, no, don't do this. Don't do this. He didn't make us do this. It's that law. I'm going on. Let church say amen. Amen. Are you in Ephesians? I got to go because we got a program to go. Okay, in Ephesians, say we walk by faith and not by sight. I was over there in the Gospels there. Jesus was teaching. Amen. I've been saved a long time. Amen. It's a lot of backslidden people, amen, that you immediately witness to. If you're not a witness to them, tell them that God loves them and they want you back. Because what they're into, whatever, amen, marvel not, you must be born again. That's spiritual to get the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, I'm going to come back to that part in that area on perversion. You don't use to hear that word used like that, perversion. How God deals with it, amen. And when you know the root of it, you have the word of God. You're equipped to love people who are in sin or whatever kind. You can't change. You can't change what God disapproved. You can't stamp it. Well, you're not authorized to stamp what God has unstamped. Nobody is authorized to do that. Okay, what's your vote? They put that in. Not if this is spoken on it. Can you say amen? All right, let's go to Ephesians quickly. I covered 10 points on faith last week. I think it was Wednesday. In Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 7. This has to do with, amen, your authority as the believer. Because these things we're talking about, a lot of the challenges you're dealing with, there are things that you, with the word of God, are able to change and have dominion over. So you have to get a hold of your life, your circumstances, and know you have authority over the things that are coming to challenge you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, and here in Ephesians, Paul is talking about the salvation of the Gentiles. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ in the, by the gospel. Now, here we look up real quick. What happened is when Paul, you know, when you see the gospel in the book of Acts, you see the miracles in Acts, etc. Pentecost has come, the Holy Ghost is in the earth. Can you say amen? All right, well, these are Jews. Okay, now the gospel has come to people who are not Jews. Salvation is now available. And see what the Jews did, they were challenging this salvation made so easy. Oh, so all we gotta do is just say something and God forgive us. Yes, it's through Jesus Christ. And so at Pentecost, when you had the tongues of interpretation, it was revealing that God had sent a way to redeem mankind. And the thing of it was the Jews had a frame of reference of the Old Testament to know what the law said. They knew what the law said. And Jesus was fulfilling the whole law. And here again, so now the new birth is made available. God has made salvation available to whosoever will. So now when Paul here in Ephesians, these people are being saved who don't necessarily know the law the way the Jews did. So now they got to deal with salvation. So I can be saved. Here's what it means. Here's the authority. Here's your position. Here's your power. Here's your relationship with Jesus. Just the way you receive Jesus. That's why you had to get the word of God. And a lot of you say, well, you ain't on that Old Testament. But the Old Testament is very valuable to you because it reveals to you God and how right God is, how righteous he is, his standards, his rules. And so then you realize, man can't keep that right. So how does he keep it? Jesus, he sent Jesus. So we're in compliance based on the blood of Jesus for the sin of mankind. But Paul now is teaching this thing where you're looking at your authority. Because see, now Jesus has come. Somebody say authority. And I'll be through this. So what happened is, what Adam and Eve had in creation, they had authority. They had dominion. They lost dominion and authority. So when God sent Jesus, he redeemed man and gave him back authority that Adam and Eve had. Are you with me? But that's those who come to Jesus and get saved. So Paul is having to articulate salvation by Jesus. Now here, the disciples, they've done these miracles and everything in the book of Acts where you see this and you know, look at their journeys, etc. So here, this teaching, here in talking about the authority, because you are a new creature, you have a new name, you have new authority, you in Jesus, he's in you. And so your identity, Paul is dealing with the identity of the believer, amen, and his position, his purposes, and things like that. So here, the scripture says that the Gentiles, you see that in verse number six, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Underline that word where it says of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of what? His power. So you begin to hear him talk about the power of God and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is on the earth. Paul is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost in the whole New Testament, he's in his earthly ministry. So the power of God is available. You're not left to be carried. That's why we come to the altar. God don't want you to carry. Why are you carrying that? He said his power is in the earth. Ain't carrying nothing. Say, well, you know, such and such is going on. I don't care. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't care. Amen. You're not supposed to care. You're supposed to cast the care. You're not supposed to consistently walk, operate, think with the cares of the world as part of your operation. Amen. The devil will send you cares just to defeat you. The cares of the world, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. Choke, enter in and choke the word. That's over in Mark 4. The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, we've had 2 years of some serious care temptation. What? What you talking about now, Reverend? We've had the last, since 16, 2 years of what I consider one of the greatest temptations of cares I've ever seen in my young lifetime. Come on, somebody. We never cared who the president was until Obama got elected. And they're like, all right. Now you talking about care. Care meaning worry. What is this man going to do? I don't know and I don't care. I'd have let that go. That's God business. The world is on track. It's going to do what it's going to do. Jesus coming back. And in between, there's going to be some fools and foolishness that occur in between now and his return. Who you calling like a fool? Whoever shoe fit, whoever it fit. Like I said, cast your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. Amen. Y'all didn't used to think like this when Obama was the president. Everything was just rolling right along. Very predictable. But now? Now? I'm going on. But the word said not do it. We to pray. Pray for those in authority in high places and folk arguing. Folk, you talking about division? Division in America? I don't think it's been this much division since slavery. What? Yeah. Slavery just barely got passed. You check the political landscape of slavery when they had the vote in Washington on, you know, about Lincoln freeing the slave. Lincoln had to call up people to get the vote just to get that thing over. You would think no slavery would be a no-brainer. It wasn't a no-brainer. Too many people were benefiting from slavery. Folk were making money on slavery, except the slaves wasn't. Everybody was making money but the slaves. So the people who make money, they didn't want it to end. The people who benefited from it, they didn't want it to end. Amen. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. So now we got something right here now. And abortion rights. We got some stuff on the table that you got to be prayed up. Amen. You know, aborting babies for contraception. Come on. You don't kill a baby because you ain't got money to take care of it. Man, if that was the case, I wouldn't have been here. My mom was on welfare with 12 kids. I'm glad she didn't think that way. I'm going to go on. The devil is defeated. So there's a lot of things going on in society. And because the internet and everything else, it used to come on your TV. It's on your TV, your pocket, your phone. It's everywhere. It's all over. Getting your attention, every device. You got it right in your hand, on your iPad, your telephone. It's right there. The world is right here. It's in your pocket. Cast your care on the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Come in here. You can't solve the world's problem. In America, we like 52 countries. There's all kind of stuff happening in America. So you got to cast your care on the Lord, for he cares for you, to keep your peace and trust the Lord. And on trust the Lord, you got to have his word on the inside of you quickly. So in any case, and I won't go further, but the word says, and you'll have to read, I'll leave most of for you to read. Verse 8, it says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Among the who? Among the Gentiles. Read that next phrase. The unsearchable riches of Christ. One more time. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what that word unsearchable means? That means you will find riches and you will keep finding them. That means you won't ever find them all. It doesn't mean you can't find them. It means you will find them, and you won't ever stop finding how valuable Jesus is.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexton Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m., or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.airchurch.com. theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.